Thank you very much for tuning in to the radio program. We want to invite you to come out to the Mount Gilead Church of Christ whenever you have opportunity. Our worship starts this morning, 9:30 a.m., a little after 10 a.m. for our morning worship, and again at 6 p.m. on the Sunday evenings. We'd love to have you come out and to see us every time you get an opportunity. Don't forget the midweek Bible study, 7 o'clock. And each Wednesday night, classes for all ages, that applies to the Sunday school as well, and we'd love to see you and the entire family there. I'd like to talk to you this morning a little bit about hope, and the Bible has a lot to say about the subject of hope. We think about that important passage over in 1 Corinthians 13, that now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And it says the greatest, of course, of these is charity or love. However, that doesn't mean that the others are not important. After all, why pick those three if the other two are no big shake? And certainly faith is a big deal, but we don't talk as much about hope. So I would like for us to delve into that a little bit this morning and to discuss the difference between a wish and a hope and how that people can live in a better hope today if we'll just try. There's a difference between wishing for something and hoping for it. I wish I had more coconut pie, but that doesn't mean that I have it, or that I expect to receive it from anybody in particular, or even expect for anybody to make me one. I can just wish for it. I could wish for it all day long. I don't have to have a bit of evidence for it. I don't have to have a bit of indication that anybody is going to bring me one. Nobody ever has had to have brought me one, or even ever bring me one in the future. I still can wish for it. You can wish for anything. However, hope is a little bit more grounded than that, isn't it? It's something that involves an expectation of receiving, and this is the way in which the Bible uses it. In fact, the hope that the Bible teaches is both steadfast and sure. I hope it doesn't flood like in Noah's day. What do I mean by that? It's more than just a wish. I have the solid promise of God. He says, I'm not going to do that again. I put a rainbow up in the sky, and you're just not going to have that kind of thing happen to the earth ever again. Never again will I destroy the earth for man's sake, God pointed out. So, when you reach the end of time, God says that he's going to finish things by fire, but it's not going to flood like in Noah's day. God says so. So somebody says, well, I hope it doesn't. That's right. Indeed, you do hope it doesn't, because you expect God to keep his promises. The oneness of our hope is like the oneness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a sure thing. There are many masters, but one Jesus. There are many things to hope in, but there is one Bible-based hope. That is the hope of eternal life. Let's first of all identify this hope from the Bible. Secondly, see how that this hope is denied by some religious groups based upon what they say in their doctrines and how that they go against the idea of the hope of eternal life in the Scripture. And then finally, let's look at the positive teachings of Scripture with respect to the nature of this hope, what the Bible has to say about it, like in the book of Romans and other places, and then we'll draw some conclusions, okay? So starting right in there, here we go. Hope is identified when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most pitiable. Isn't that the problem with a whole lot of people today? They go around and you just know they're not living with hope. How does a man live that way? Before I became a Christian, I was absolutely miserable. Weren't you? And my friend, if you're not a Christian right now, you have to ask yourself, why do I feel the way I do? Why do I lack direction? Why am I despondent? Why do I not know what the future holds for me? Well, it's because you don't have any hope. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most pitiable. Your hopes, your aspirations, your dreams are all going to be of a temporal nature. That is, they only last for just a little while, and then they just go away. Well, I hope to be this when I grow up. Well, you grow up. You see, in just a few short years, you've already realized or failed to realize whatever you had expected in life. Now, let's say you realize whatever it is that you had hoped for. Then, after you do whatever it is that you had wanted to do for so many years, then those few short years pass quickly, and then what? You can't do that anymore. Is that what all your hopes and aspirations were built up to be? Just something to do in life? This life is not what it's all about. Let's say that you never get to accomplish for one reason or another. Accident, sickness, lack of people giving you opportunity. Somebody does something bad to you. Nobody will give you a break. All kinds of reason your life takes a different direction because of some bad choices that you make. All kinds of things cause people to not become what they had hoped to be. So if you have everything built up in this life, you think that this is it. Well, if in this life only you have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most pitiable. Because without looking to the resurrection, without knowing that you have everything lined up so that eternal life is yours in Jesus Christ, then, my friend, the physical things of this life are not going to help you. The hope that we have is in eternal life. Now let's go over to in Titus chapter 1, and beginning in verse 2, check that out. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. This statement, the hope, notice that there are several qualities of the hope that are given here in Titus chapter 1. It's a fascinating passage because, first of all, it identifies the hope as what I've already talked about. It's the hope of eternal life. This hope, the hope, there is one hope, as it says in Ephesians. So this hope, which we have of eternal life, it comes from God, which God, who cannot lie, promised. So he's the source of it. And furthermore, it says that it's a set thing. God, who cannot lie. God puts it out there, and it's not like you're dangling a carrot before a mule that you want to go in one direction or another, but you're never going to give him the carrot. No, God says, it's there waiting for you. It is attainable. It is promised before time began. And this promise that God has given is another quality of it. So the object of the hope is eternal life. The hope that we have is a promised hope. It's not something that you look around right now and you say, well, why am I not in heaven yet? Well, my friend, you've got to go through a little bit first. You've got to live by faith in the meantime, right? And then you've got to wait on the promises of God. But God's promised it. It's a done deal. All you've got to do is your side of the bargain, your side of the covenant or agreement. God has promised before time began, but has in due time been manifested. The hope is promised. The hope is manifested. How? Through his word. He manifested his word through preaching. God has told us of this hope. There's no reason for anybody to be in the dark about it. You go to the day of judgment, my friend, and you say, well, I never knew that there was a possibility of this. I never knew what I could have had. It was there for you. It was waiting for you. You didn't want to hear the preaching? Then that's not God's fault. God manifested his word through preaching that told about the hope. And it was committed to me, the Apostle Paul said, according to the commandment of God our Savior. So, everybody should know about that hope, which is the hope of eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, not only do we have the hope identified in Bible, but we also have Scripture showing us how some people deny the hope. Now, they don't necessarily realize they're denying hope, but because of their doctrines, because of certain things that they teach, they do live in denial of the New Testament hope of eternal life. Now, I'm going to get real specific with you all here, and it's not my aim to pick on any particular person, but inasmuch as hope is such a central and important doctrine, 1 Corinthians 13, it must be explained when somebody tries to deny the hope. The hope of eternal life, it's predicated upon the resurrection, as we just read from 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, when the Jehovah's Witnesses deny the hope by saying that we're going to have physical life here on this earth, they're denying the nature of what God has given us. God gives us a new Jerusalem. God gives us a new abode, the heavenly country, as described in Hebrews chapter 11. They deny the nature of the hope of eternal life. It's not the hope of just hanging around here forever and ever. It's the hope of eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 2, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 2, it says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, so your body just wiped off, everything goes back dust to dust, right? We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, if we have a house, a building from God, and that's what they were waiting on, the people of God, the faithful, like Noah and Abraham and Enoch and Abel and all those guys listed in Hebrews 11. For they waited for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If they're waiting for that building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, then folks, we're not looking and waiting for this here. Somebody says, I'm waiting for when the lion lies down with the lamb and so forth. You're wanting God to change the nature of this world? Much better that God should give us a new world, a new building,
along with their new immortal body. So God's going to raise and change this one into something better, and it's going to be eternal, and it's going to be in the heavens. So God puts the place of it in the heavens, in other words, a different realm, a different place, not this one on this earth. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. That's what verse 2 says in 2 Corinthians 5. We desire and wait on that heavenly home. And that heavenly home is coming to us. But we have to wait on it. We don't have it here and now. Whatever you see around you now is but a far removal from. It is the image of, but it's not the substance of the pure and true thing. Just like we're going to have a new and immortal body, so likewise this earth is just simply a reflection upon what God has prepared for us in heaven itself. If indeed, verse 3, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan. That is, you have to expect it. You have to wait on it. You don't want to be found unprepared when Jesus comes. Being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. That is, while we're living here, we groan for it. We're waiting on it. Not because we want to die, but we want to be further clothed, he says. Not because we want to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, that our mortality may be swallowed up by life. That's verse 4 in 2 Corinthians 5. Now get this, verse 5. Now, he who has prepared for us this very thing is God. And what did we already learn from Titus? That God cannot lie, right? Who also, that is God, has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So in the meantime, we have the Christian works that we do here as guided by God's Holy Spirit and the Word that He has left with us. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now we live right now here upon this earth. But in this body, we're absent from the Lord. We want to go to a different realm, to a better place. But what do they teach? The witnesses teach, well, you're going to be here forever, and God's going to reconstitute this body and just kind of put you here, and you'll just forever run around tending a garden or something here on this earth. God has a better garden, folks. God has the tree of life that He had taken away. God has access in the heavenly realm to everything that you need, but you don't need to restrict yourself to thinking of this earth and what presently is. We are absent from the Lord here. We want to go and be with the Lord. God lives where? In heaven. Where is He right now? You see, that's where the throne is. That's where everything is in that spiritual realm. It's not that it's out there on some foreign planet somewhere. You don't hope to get in a rocket ship and go to some foreign planet. You hope to enter into the blessings of God of eternal life. That's what the hope is in. Eternal life in Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm. Sometimes it's hard for people to conceptualize that. They have a hard time thinking, what do you mean spiritual realm if I don't physically get to go to it? Well, just because you don't see something and just because you can't physically travel to it, no matter how many light years that you travel, that doesn't mean that it isn't real. Things that are unseen are just as real as what we have here now. Those things that were seen by man and are seen now, they could not have created themselves. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says that so that those things that are seen were not made of those things that are visible. Once again, Hebrews 11. So we walk by faith. We're absent from the Lord now, but we walk by faith, not by sight. And we know that there are places unseen, and that spiritual realm is the unseen place wherein dwells true righteousness. The full embodiment of God in Jesus Christ, and we go to be with Him. We are confident, yes, verse 8 says, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we're waiting for that day, that time. Now, besides, you can't have this present earth being the place where everybody just hangs around and, like I said, tends a garden and the lion and the lamb lie down together and so forth. Their misunderstanding of that is because they don't understand passages like 2 Peter chapter 3 in verses 8 through 10. How are you going to stay here when this earth is going to pass? When the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Read it yourself. 2 Peter chapter 3. So you read that and you find out this place is going to be gone. So the heavens pass away, the earth melts with fervent heat, it's gone. Now, if God can take anything and reduce it to its flashpoint or whatever, then He can change its form and then cause it to go away. It dissipates in the energy that it gives off, and boom, gone. Those who believe in the doctrine, therefore, of, well, the Lord will just kind of revamp you and send you back here to this earth. No, 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 no. The hope of eternal life is in a better place, a different place. Study on those scriptures. Okay, there's another group of anyone who believes this. There's different religious groups, so you can't just pin it on just one, and you'd have to get real particular then. But anyway, there's another doctrine which gets rid of the hope of eternal life. It contradicts it. Those who believe in once saved, always saved, they deny the hope of eternal life, the doctrine of the one hope as given in the book of Ephesians. Now you say, well, how do they deny it? They deny it because they say that we have eternal life now, not in hope. Things, you got to stick it out. Things are going to be different. What did the Apostle Paul just talk about? He said, we don't want to be found ashamed, do we? Lest we shall be found, or we don't want to be found naked. What if you're not ready for the Lord because you've gone back to living like the world? Well, you didn't have that eternal life right this moment in the sense of possessing it to the extent that you're in heaven and you're never going to go away. No, you can leave the safety of God. So it says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, this is Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, for those listening out there in radio land. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Somebody's thinking fleshly here on this earth. He said, you're going to die. You don't have it yet. You're waiting on it. Mark chapter 10. You can't make it much clearer than this. Mark 10, going down to verse 30. Start around verse 29. 29 and 30. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time. Notice what he says. In this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now, if our hope is the hope of eternal life, Titus chapter 1, and he says, in the age to come, you get eternal life, then that, folks, that means we're still waiting on it. That's what hope is. It's the expectation to receive something that you don't presently possess. So people say, well, we have eternal life now, and once you're saved, you're always saved because you can't lose it because you got eternal life now. Well, you have the expectation of eternal life. You live in the hope of it. But you've got to wait until you get there. Wait till you get there. Finally, once again, Romans chapter 8. This will make it very clear to you. This is a little bit further down in Romans 8, this time verse 24. So before we were up around verse 12, just skip down a little bit. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Persevere, hang on. God has eternal life for all of those who will be faithful to him. But if you're not going to be faithful, then part of the hope of eternal life is to say, I've got to persevere. I am saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, he says. Someone says, well, I've got eternal life now. I can never lose it. You can't say once saved, always saved, my friends. You've got to stick it out. You've got to stay faithful. If not, then you're just not going to make it there to heaven. You will fall from grace. It's entirely possible to fall from grace. Let no one fool you. The scripture is very clear. In the book of Galatians, he talks about those who are fallen from grace. Hebrews chapter 6, a case of those who deny the first principles. You can't do anything for them. They leave the way of the faith. Demas, an example in the Bible of someone who had forsaken the Lord, left the way of the gospel. What about Judas himself, that the Lord himself had picked? You got all kinds of people down through history had left the way of the truth. Now let's wrap this up then. Let's see what it's all about. Some people lose heart because they forget to keep hope alive. Politicians, sounds like something they'd say, doesn't it? Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive! Well, they're talking about social movements. I got something better for you than that. You lose your sight of heaven, my friend, and you'll fail to keep hope alive. You wonder why you're addicted to stuff, not thinking about heaven enough. Where'd your hope go? Where'd your hope go? Do you not even wish that life was different? God has something much more different, much better than anything you've seen here. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country, it says in Hebrews 11. Folks, God's got a better place. There's a better place, a better time, without a doubt. And it's waiting for you and for me. Are you secure in your faith? Or are you just wishing for something good to happen to you at the judgment? My friend, do you live in hope? Oh, I wish I had a big piece of pie right now in front of me, someone says, but nobody's cooking it. You don't have the ingredients. You may wish for it, but there's no reason for you to think you're going to get it. But if you live in the hope of eternal life, it means you have believed on the gospel, you have repented of your sins, you've obeyed that form of doctrine that is given unto us, that is to confess your faith in Jesus Christ and to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You have gone down into the water, died to sin, raised to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6. We don't just wish for it. We expect it. Because Jesus says, you do what I tell you, you'll get what they got. People from all down through history have lived in the hope of God's home. And they're waiting for it. And we wait for it as well. But you need to stick it out with God here and now. Lay hold on eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. Lay hold on it by obeying the gospel today. Is there something that the Mount Gilead Church of Christ can do to encourage you, to show you the New Testament way so that you can actually possess eternal life? What can we do to help you? If you need any assistance at all, then we'd love to study the Bible with you. Contact us at area code 270-487-5342. You can also come by and visit us at our worship services. That's over at 1189 Mount Gilead Road at Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Just go just north of town past the Walmart. You'll see a sign, turn on the Mount Gilead Road, that highway 2768. Turn down that road and go on past the barbecue and over near the veterinary clinic or the church house up on the hill. It's where we meet. And we'd love to have you come check us out, ask any question that you'd like to. If you have a question, maybe you'd like to write us. Maybe you can't get by in person, but you want to know about something. P.O. Box 266, you can write us there at Tompkinsville, Kentucky, 42167. And we'd be happy to answer any kind of question that you have. Be listening to all these radio broadcasts, and you always are encouraged to come by, and we'll receive a warm welcome at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. Thank you very much for tuning in this morning.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand, just beyond the river, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
And that was Near the Cross by the bluegrass group Daly and Vincent. And now a rendition of Don't You Want to Go to Heaven by the same group, Daly and Vincent.
Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die?
Down in the land of Galilee.
Down by the sea
that's so deep.
My Lord said, Simon, if you love me,
then go and feed my sheep.
Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die?
Now Jesus was
the Son of God.
He died upon
that cruel cross.
He died for you.
He died for me,
that we might not be lost.
Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty, for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to be a servant for the good God Almighty? Don't you want to go to heaven when you die?
Don't you want to go to heaven when you die?